you know, as you go through these games and however you want to dissect it and go over your notes, I only had a couple of negative notes with the Jets, the Gibson fumble, the two-point conversion play call, and the timeout before that. Other than that, I thought it was a good effort from the Jets. And with the Giants, it was just another mess with the same old stuff. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be that way the rest of the year. And obviously, the talk is going to be about Jackson Dart. But for now, based off of week one, the Jets executed what we were expecting. Remember how we had the conversation on Friday, the hope moving forward?
Yeah.
Not about the results this year, but about the hope, reason to believe in each of these teams. We saw it in week one with the Jets, and in week one with the Giants, the biggest reason for hope, he was glued to the bench, rightfully so in Jackson Dart, but everything else was awful.
I think it's a pretty good encapsulation. I agree with most of that. You know, the penalty by Quincy, that's a small thing in the game. Yeah. I mean, fairly small. I mean, we see that a little bit differently. But no, I mean, listen, let's also understand, we should probably weave this into the conversation, like, if, let's say this is year three of Aaron Glenn, and they take the steps and the strides and the progress and the accountability and all those things that we talk about as when he was hired and other coaches, if that's very apparent and they start the 2028 season this way or the 2027 season this way, and they lose at home, and they lose at home because they muff a kick return, you know, a couple of bad penalties or a couple of questionable calls, it will be utterly unacceptable. So admittedly, the bar is incredibly low. But I look at it, the thing that really jumps out to me is that they were ready to play the game. They did not punt in the first half. They did not commit a penalty, and they did not allow a sack. A sack. So big-time progress by the Jets. The Giants, the same old broken record until it's not.
All right, we'll get your calls in on both the Jets and the Giants. Andrew is calling from Lawrence. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
It's been a while since I don't know if we spoke, but I usually don't get a hold of you guys. You're so busy. Sal, first of all, my condolences about your brother-in-law.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Really sorry. So I'm a big-time Jets fan. Like, I was born in 69, so just that mentality. So I was watching the game with my son yesterday. Just give me a second. He was getting so sucked into it. I'm like, damn, I just can't do it. And then we had that fumble and that crazy pinball with the Metcalf. I'm like, we're jinxed. So I'm like, maybe we need a Jexorcism. Someone must have sold their soul after 69, and we're never going to see one until we abolish that. Just what is your thoughts? Because yesterday it looked so good to me.
Yeah.
Like, I was so excited, but I'm like, oh. I can't believe what happened.
Well, Andrew, let me ask you this. Or anybody that thinks that the Jets are cursed or an exorcism is necessary, what exorcism did the Red Sox perform before they started winning all these World Series with, which was obviously tied into the curse of the Bambino? I know it's something that we latch onto, and it's part of lore, and it almost helps us, I guess, understand on some deeper level, like, our fate. But I don't believe it's always our fate. And you guys know where I stand on that. I think when you hire smart people, and Dolan really is a great example of this, because Dolan for 20 years did everything wrong. He went a different route. An agent who he knew had ties around the league and had juice, let him cook, stayed out of his way, and here we are, the Knicks are a top three, top four team in the NBA and have a championship window for a couple of years. Dolan didn't get smarter. Dolan didn't look in the mirror and changed how he operates and runs the Knicks. He just kind of stumbled upon somebody who was good, then he stayed out of his way. It always comes down to that. You have to hire smart people.
Yeah, and we'll find out if Muji and Glenn are the right guys. I think Glenn is definitely the right guy, but we'll find out about Muji and Glenn, and we'll find out then if Woody stays out of their way, but Look, I understand the feeling as a fan when your team loses a game. Obviously, it happens all the time, right? But if you're evaluating this Jets season, like, I don't know what the expectations are for the fans who are hurt that they lost yesterday, other than, yeah, it hurts to lose a game. It happens. Even the best teams are going to lose 5-6 games throughout the course of the year, and you're certainly not going to be one of the best teams. There were many, many, many more reasons to be proud yesterday if you're a Jet fan than there were to be frustrated. Outside of the end result, which took a miracle with the 60-yard field goal, the catch that shouldn't have been a catch, whatever it may be. Like, yeah, Rodgers got the last laugh. Barely. He really didn't deserve to get the last laugh, even with his four touchdowns. The Jets outplayed the Steelers all afternoon. The fumble on the kickoff happens. It changed the entire feel of the game. But I would come away with that saying, you know what? Man, our quarterback looked great. We ran the football down their throat. Our defense showed signs. We stopped the run. We got to the quarterback at times. The coach, says and does all the right things so far.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a man out there. He acts like a man, not somebody who's scared of the lights or the questions or the cameras.
Yeah.
Good God, that's such a big deal, because when you act like that in front of everybody, that's what he's doing in the room with the players.
Correct.
He's also doing it to everybody to see. Nobody's ever going to be able to get him with anything,
yep,
because it's all honest and truth. And he doesn't care what anybody says, because he believes his way is the right way.
Yep. I think that's well said. And I think when you are consistently, like emotionally consistent, and how you deliver messaging, I think is going to be embraced, because guys will know where they stand. Listen, it's always hard being disciplined, no matter what level you're playing at. But as a pro, even great college players, I guess every level, like, people really do want to get coached. They want to know what to do. The most frustrating thing is when I'm not held accountable, because you don't really know what my job description is. If you tell me what to do and I don't do it, it's on me, not you. So I get it. Listen, guys, one of the things that we roll the dice on when we are this passionate with these teams is that we run the risk of getting hurt. That's just the way it is from a sports perspective. Well, that's yesterday. We're hurt because we should have won that game. But I'll say we should have won that game in a lot of ways. But the alternate universe is you sit there in a coma, transfixed on a TV that's spitting back nothing but negativity. 3 points and a half, you know, 12 penalties in a game, minus 14 minutes in time of possession, the turnover rate, minus 3 or minus 4. You know, like pretty much every other Jet game for the last 12 to 15 years. I will take this hurt, because it will be the bridge to cross into the good.
100%. Philip is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Philip?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Look, I agree with everything you guys said. Theologically, it sounds good. Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, look, push your chips to the middle of the table and play this kid. If the Giants go 0-4, they facing the Saints. They got the Eagles after that. They got the Chargers. They got the Vikings, Detroit, Green Bay. Put this kid out there. I've seen the Giants win all 4 Super Bowls. I haven't seen them have a quarterback with the ability that he has in terms of throwing the ball, running the ball, staying in the pocket. Look, they could lose this locker room. Going 0-4, I think they could lose the locker room. And then what are you doing with the coach and the GM if this team doesn't win 3 or more games?
Well, they're out. And it's a good call, Philip. Now, first of all, even if you did lose the locker room, and it's a little bit too early for that, but I hear you. I don't think it's crazy talk. I think that it would be won back when they give the football to Jackson Dart. Because that youthfulness and that brashness and, let's face it, the kid's a 21-year-old rookie out there looking like he's a hell of a player, you know, rocking this platinum fat chain. This guy's going to fit in the locker room, man. He's going to fit in with that team. So even if there's an element of, oh, here we go again, Russ doesn't really have it. When he gets the football, I think the entire room, or at least most of the room, is galvanized, and they fight for the kid and they play ball.
Right, but we as fans may want to see that now. You have to make sure once Dable decides to go with Jackson Dart, there is no going back. Who's to say that Jackson Dart's going to go out there and be a stud? Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Because he had some success in a preseason game? That's all of a sudden the answer now? Jackson Dart's the... Like, everybody's going based off of the assumption that Jackson Dart is it. You don't know that. We got to learn about what Jackson Dart is. Yeah, we all want to learn. Of course, I'd rather watch Jackson Dart than I would Russell Wilson, because we know what Russell Wilson is at this point. There's a plan in place. You have to trust them to develop this plan or execute the plan for at least a few weeks, I would think. Then they will eventually go to Jackson Dart, whenever that is. Then we could decide. I wouldn't worry about them losing the locker room because what? Because Malik Nabers wants to see Jackson Dart in there? I mean, if you get to that point, then it's so fractured that there's no way to repair it.
No, I guess it might not matter. You know, it's funny, too. Les Kohler said that. And at least in terms of the skill, I think he's right. Like, they haven't had an athlete that can throw the ball like this kind of profile of athleticism. I mean, obviously, Phil couldn't run. Like that, obviously, and neither could Eli, so on and so forth. But you know the irony? Guess who they did have, who was probably the second, or maybe even slightly more? They had Geno.
Yeah.
Geno was that guy. Geno could move. Geno could spin it, and the Giants.
I mean, Jones, too.
Credit. They tried to play him. Yeah, but Jones, He did, but I don't look at Jones. He had the movement.
Yeah.
I just don't think Jones had the zip and the throwing.
Did you see any of the
highlights? He did yesterday.
I mean.
Well, then why couldn't Dable unlock that? Like, well, how come in 3 months Daniel Jones has already exercised his demons and his reluctance to throw the ball downfield, but like actually take shots and execute, but in 3 years Dable couldn't get him to do that?
Yeah,
that's on Dable, not Jones.
But that's the point.
I know.
Like, I'm not 100% sold that Daniel Jones is going to be great with the Colts anyway, but the fact that he could do what he did in week one with them, when he couldn't do that here in basically 3 years, throwing the football down. He had his success in 2022 running the football.
100%.
They didn't let him throw the football down the field. 2023 was supposed to be the year we were told by everybody, okay, they're going to open up the offense now. They have the weapons in place. They trust the offensive line. He's got some weapons to work with. And it was awful. Obviously, he got hurt. Thomas got hurt. Never got to see it. Okay, 2024. Reset. Let's find out. It was awful yet again. One game with the Colts, he did what he couldn't do in 3 years here. You want to go beyond that, but I'm just going with Brian Daboll. With 3 years under Brian Daboll. Unbelievable.